Hey, everybody.
Hey, everybody. Hey, Cheryl. You're adorable.
We are here for Growing with NTI.
We are. Okay. We've had a big day, but we're going to do the best we can here.
Amen. Thank you, Connie. Do you want to start with a prayer?
Sure.
That you lead?
Sure. Okay.
Thank you, God. Thank you for our lessons. And we're ready to move past our lessons and to the experience of being one with you. Help lead us there, because that's where we want to go. Thank you, God. Thank you from the bottom of our hearts. Amen.
Amen. How sweet. Ditto. Really sweet.
Okay.
All right. We love you too, Cheryl. Okay, so.
Corinthians chapter 11, page 299.
Whoa. I got NTI 1 Corinthians chapter 10.
So we did that.
We did?
Yep.
Oh, okay. I marked it in the wrong place. So, okay. What Connie said. Page 299 of NTI, 1 Corinthians chapter 11.
Look at there. He already answered my prayer.
Sentence one. Follow my guidance as I lead you to your truth. I am grateful to you for continuing on the path with me, just as I am grateful to you for all things. For I can never not be grateful to you, because I know your truth. And I know your Father who created you the same as He. Page 300.
Move right along.
I'll let you in on a little secret, and that is that this Sunday, when I lead the gathering, I'm going to be talking about prayer, and I think that extends far beyond just prayer. It's like, who am I praying to? What am I praying for? Right? And so so all these things seem to just fit right into that. And you know, and I think I think the answer to that question is, you know, what NTI tells us is, you know, as well as maybe other sources, is that we're praying to ourself, our higher self. I think A Course in Miracles would call that Holy Spirit, but not as in the Holy Spirit, as some entity that's separate to me. It's like the Holy Spirit within me, my higher self, but that I'm praying, frankly, to be led to the truth, and I don't need to know what that truth is. Okay, now I don't have to talk on Sunday.
Is that the fourth Sunday?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
It is.
But Jacqueline speaks this Sunday, everybody.
That was a long commercial. You know, given that the truth of what we are is absolutely changeless, the only real prayer would have to be gratitude. And that gratitude would have to be mutual. I mean, from mutual within the one, right? But, you know, it would have to just flow both ways. You know, it'd just be like a
continuous thank you loop.
Yeah, right. Ain't this cool loop? Yeah.
Cool.
Right. So, anyway, so that's what's brought up for me in these follow my guidance as I lead you to your truth, and I'm grateful to you. Yeah, the first couple of paragraphs that we've read. So, again, top of page 300, trust in me as I am your authority in the world. I am not a false authority, which would not recognize you and would try to tell you what to do. I am true authority because I do recognize you. I lead you where you want to go. Do not fear that I will ask you to do what you do not want to do. I cannot do that. because I know what you are. This is why I wait for your invitation to give you what you want, for I do know that you want it. But knowing who you are, I wait until you know also.
Yeah, it kind of strikes you as funny as it says, trust in me, I'm your authority in the world. I being the Holy Spirit, am your authority in the illusion. That's basically what it's saying. I'm not the false authority, which would not recognize you. And then I love that it says, do not fear that I would ask you to do what you do not want to do. Because I think I even said this last week, that was a fear of mine. That you don't want to go down that road because you're going to be asked to do things you don't want to do.
Yeah, and of course that begs the question of by whom?
Sure.
Right?
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah, because you're only, because again...
Yeah. Yeah, and that would have to be coming from the ego.
Right. The fear would have, of course, fear always does. But, looking at it in terms of what I was talking about a minute ago, it's like, if the only prayer, and the conclusion I'm coming to is if the only prayer is lead me to the truth, then all that's required for you to be led to the truth is the desire to see the truth. So, of course, you can't be asked to do something that you don't want to do. And the only entity that you're looking to lead you to the truth is the self, is yourself.
Right.
So, of course you're not going to be coerced into something. It's like holding your fingers over your eyes, right? And it's like you decide how much you want to see, you decide when to make the cracks between your fingers grow wider so that you see. Nobody's coercing you. You cannot see if you want to keep your fingers over your eyes, you're welcome to do that. Or you can open to your truth. I mean, it's just that simple. What? Connie's looking at me funny. What?
No. Yeah, so, and it seems to me that what you were talking about earlier, about that just being a continuous circle of gratitude, or you're not going to be grateful for something you don't want to do either.
Right.
So it's, it's just the whole package is, a love fest, a bliss fest, right? And that's what we're told is when you are in that awakening state, that's what that amounts to. From this perspective, it certainly makes sense.
Yes. You can trust in me because I am you. Hey. We are one in God. Therefore, I cannot want for you that which you do not want for yourself.
Thank you, Holy Spirit.
I can only want for you that which you do want. This is why you have freedom to choose dreams of illusion, if that is the experience you desire. I will not take from you that which you desire. I will only give that which you seek. I cannot take. Right? I can only give because I know that you are me. Remember me in all things and in all that you do. Remember that I am your truth, and I am the one within you who does not lose sight of your true desire. That's good. While you may still lose sight, give all things to me. In this way, you are led consistently in the direction of your truth.
So what do you think that means?
I think that means that...
Give all things to me.
Oh, okay. In your confusion, don't decide for yourself, right? I mean, it's again, it's about focusing, I think, it's about focusing on your true desire. If your true desire is the truth, then you'll be willing to hand over, you know, your beliefs, your assumptions, your, I know I'm right. He says blah, 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 but I know I'm right. You'll be willing to give all that over. It's basically doing what, what we were just reading. Maybe it was Corinthians. I don't know, but we were just reading about the empty shell, right? And it's basically that. It's a willingness to give control over, give the I know mind over.
Okay.
Does that
make
sense?
Give all things to me. So when all things, he really means give control over to me.
Yeah.
Okay. All things equal control.
Or maybe it's the give.
Yeah, because, I mean, you know, we certainly are taught that we have no control in the world. We think we do.
Right.
But we don't.
Right. And any control that we attempt to grasp or exert is just digging you deeper into the dream. And if the true desire of your heart is to be led to the truth, then you can see how taking things within your own control is running in the opposite direction, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, while you may still lose sight, give all things to me.
All control, folks.
In this way, you are led consistently in the direction of your truth. Hold nothing back from me.
All control.
Do not feel you need to handle anything yourself.
All control. I'm learning a lesson here. I hope you all don't mind.
For to feel you must handle anything yourself. Do not feel you need to handle anything yourself. For to feel you must handle anything yourself is to believe that we are not one and that I can want what you do not want. Let go of your desire to have things your way by remembering that your way, separate from me, is illusion. That way is no way. Surrender that way and become an empty shell.
I think we said all that, didn't we?
I think we did. But, you know, what's interesting, what seems, you know, I guess we'd have to get Regina on the phone and ask her about it. But what seems evident in this paragraph is this seems like doubt in the mind. And it's like, you know, well, I'm willing to give you whatever. I'm willing to give you my job. I'm willing to give you my relationships. But I am not willing to give you control over my money. I know job and money didn't kind of go together, right? But you can have these areas. I'll take care of these areas,
You're
right?
A little bit incompetent in this area, Holy Spirit.
That's right. I don't trust you in this area, right? And you know, and again, it's the in whatever area it is. So the interesting part.
I think
part
for
of
most of it's probably relationships. Yeah, you can have all the rest of stuff, but don't mess around my relationship.
Right. Yeah, so it just seems like this paragraph is just pointing up to a little bit of struggle in the mind with everything. you don't mean everything, surely.
Yeah.
Selective relinquishment.
Cheryl says. Knock it off, Cheryl. Quit calling me out on my stuff.
So, yeah, that way is no way. Surrender that way and become an empty shell.
So is he going to tell us how to do that? How to surrender everything?
Well, let's see. Trust in me is trust in yourself.
Okay.
This is really good. This is so on point for me. You do not give trust to something that is not you, the Holy Spirit. Give it to the Holy Spirit, this guy that collects all the grievances or whatever, right? This famous guy from Course in Miracles, Holy Spirit, right? But that's not, I mean, that's just the picture we get in our mind because that's how we think. That's, you know, where he goes. But trust in me is trust in yourself. You do not give trust to something that is not you, for I am you. That is why you can trust me. I am you and I see you. Because I see you as me, I know you. I am not the illusory self who leads you through blindness and fear. I am the true self who leads you through light and through knowledge. I will never make you suffer, for I know you cannot suffer. You can only be free. And through our freedom, I share my freedom with you. Yeah, and it's interesting, the statement about the illusory self, leading you through blindness and fear. And speaking of the Course in Miracles, it says you can be host to God or hostage to the ego, right? I mean, and we are. We run around like pinballs, beaten up against fear and worry and next week and last week and bing, 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 like, and that's the way what do I want to avoid? What do I want to get more of? That's the way the illusory self works. And we're driven by these desires. And that's why we can't rely on our own idea of what needs to be done next. That's why we can't rely on our own control, because that control is designed to keep that insane system of living going from pillar to post in the pinball machine. So you may rest and not fear. Whatever you want shall be given as long as you want it. When you do not want it, it will not be taken away. You will release it of your own freedom. It is through becoming an empty shell that you signal you have tired of games. So it is through your gift of an empty shell that I shall fill you with the memory of our truth.
It kind of reminds me, when you're talking about that pinball game, bing, 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 and that's why, you've lived your life the last 50 or 60 years being here and then being there, and the exhaustion that comes with that, and this last paragraph talks about, that you give that up willingly when you become tired of the games. It's like, oh my God, I am tired of this. I am. And you see why, people just become exhausted with life and they become sedentary and come on, Grandma, let's do this. No, I'm tired of being in a ram, I'm just tired of that bing, 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 and because it takes its toll doing that. It's exhausting.
It is exhausting.
Yeah, sorry folks, I'm stating the obvious, but I'm doing it for myself.
It's good. So it is through your gift of an empty shell that I shall fill you with the memory of our truth.
Okay, that's really the key sentence there, I think. We've been talking about this empty shell, and if you want to get on the other side of this and be about it.
Okay. NTI 1 Corinthians chapter 12, page 301. Judgment is the tool of illusion. So, as long as you desire illusion, judgment is a tool you will hold dear. If you do not want illusion, do not work with this tool. For as you work with it, you build the illusion you think you want, but do not want. And this isn't talking about, oh, she's such a bitch. I mean, that's included in judgment. That's not the judgment it's talking about. It's the belief that you can decide what's good and bad, what's good for me, what's bad for me. This is what I need, this is what I don't need. Oh, it's a pretty day, oh, it's an ugly day. I mean, it's like, it's those types of judgments. It's the duality of things. It's the
bing, bing, bing of the pinball game.
Yeah, it's the opposite of loving all. It's the opposite of Surrender to what is. Yeah. Yeah, it's the very process of bing, 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 bing. Yeah. So, again, if you do not want illusion, do not work with this tool. Oh, that's good. No, that's bad. Do not. Just put the tool down. Right? Or you're digging yourself deeper in. That's what it says. For as you work with it, you build the illusion you think you want, but you don't want. Watch your mind for the subtle judgments that you make. Watch your mind for its wishes. For each wish signals a judgment has been made.
Damn it, you can't get around anywhere.
Okay, what do you want me to do? Just sit here and go, I mean, that's what we think, right? That's the alternative. But this is talking about...
I guess that's the empty shell.
That's the empty shell.
That's
well,
the sound of an empty shell, folks. You heard it right here.
But, you know, I was just listening to Paul Hederman again talking about, you know, this, like... You know, it's this idea that thoughts are there. It's actually the same lesson that Regina teaches in the code, which I've been looking at again. But, you know, the thoughts are there because the thoughts have been made by the collective that we are. And that's what's, you know, it's everything makes everything idea.
Yeah, there's no real new thoughts being tossed around.
Well, but it's not just the new thoughts. It's like these thoughts that, like, seem to be in your mind are just thoughts. I mean, it's not like there's a Connie or a Jacqueline who makes up a thought. That's going in the wrong direction, and I'm raising my hands up from my body as I say it. Jacqueline makes up a thought. It's rather... The thoughts have been made by, you know, this collective consciousness. But so when a thought appears, that's what's been made by whatever's been created in the past, right?
So it kind of drops in and you go, oh, that's mine?
Oh, that's my thought.
Yeah.
And you either adopt it or you don't. Or you can just see, oh, that's just some code. To use Regina's term, some code that's resulted from what's been programmed into this program in the past that I can see as thought and ignore it. And, you know, Helen taught a couple weeks ago, and she talked about transcending thought. And what we often do is we want to transcend the bad thoughts. But, hey, that's a pretty thought. I'm going to keep that one. Right? When the truth of it is you are not these thoughts that are appearing to you.
Yeah. You're not your story.
Well, yeah. And beyond. And you're not this thought about, you know, oh, I just heard the front door open. Right? Or, you know, whatever it is. It's like you are the witness of the thoughts. You're not the thinker of the thoughts. The thinker of the thoughts presupposes a separate individual to think them, right? Mm-hmm. You witness that there is a thought.
Right. Right. And you get a clever one, and then you identify with it. Oh, that's clever me.
Look, that's a thought I can claim, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And in fact, that's what ego does, is it claims. That's exactly what ego or the thinking mind or the wrong mind does, is Kathy says no ownership.
Right.
But the thinking mind, the ego mind, the false persona, the body-mind personality goes around claiming things, claiming thoughts, claiming personas, claiming states of mind. When the surrender is in having no association, no relationship with those thoughts other than the witness those thoughts or those experiences or anything else other than the witness of those things.
Yeah, so the true comparison here is witnessing the thoughts as opposed to being thinking that you are the maker of the thoughts.
Right, right.
Very good.
Illusion is a trick you have made on yourself because you wanted the experience to be real. You judged that you wanted something different. You wished for something different. then you judged it had been made real. In this way, everything you made for yourself. And again, that Paul Hederman talk, he was talking about how, you know, these thoughts are there. And then you see them, you go, oh, that's my thought. And that very claiming of the thought kind of moves you around to the illusion that you were behind the thought. You know, it's spatially, right?
Right.
When it's actually, and it's hard for y'all to see, since you can only hear my voice.
She's making great gestures.
But you got thought, and then in front of that, you've got this receptor, right, who can go, oh, those are my thoughts. And once it goes, oh, those are my thoughts, then it moves back around the original thought and goes, I thought that thought, right? But that's the illusion, right? That's the I thought. Once it comes back around behind that, it's like, now I'm an I have these thoughts.
Right.
And that's the great, that's the grand trick.
Right.
Is, you ain't me.
Right. The experience you made is your experience now because you continue to make it so. And frankly, this fits in great with what we're talking about, right? Because you continue to believe I am the maker of the thoughts. It is now that matters because it is now that makes now. So your subtle judgments must be seen. I've written here, and I'm sure this is from our time in Pueblo with Regina studying this. It is now that matters because it is now that makes now. And this is why it's important to always be in the highest way I can be now. Be as enlightened as I can be in each moment. And again, that goes back to that whole idea of the code, right? You choose the highest thought that you're capable of now. That gets fed back into the code, right? And then that's the thought or circumstance or whatever you're presented with in the next moment, right? But if you're feeding in, you know, oh, can you believe what he said? I hate him. You know, that's what gets fed back in, and then that's what you get to deal with, right, in the next moment.
Step up your ball game here.
Right? So, you know, and whatever the highest thought is at that moment, and again, this is the teaching of the code, but whatever the highest thought in that moment may just be, damn, I'm angry, but I'm willing not to believe it. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. But if, even at that, even if that's a neutral thought, you can see how that doesn't feed that heavy crap back into the code that you get, then get to deal with in the next moment.
Right. Yeah.
It is now that matters because it is now that makes now. Is this cause and effect you just read in this paragraph? Well, Cheryl asked, is this cause and effect you just read in this paragraph? You know, again, I think that... I think that what Regina teaches, at least, and it sure makes sense to me, is that, you know, there's a, you know, it's that perceptual loop we talk about all the time, and I think that works on a microcosmic level and on a macrocosmic level. You know, we are all feeding thoughts into the collective. And how I respond to the thoughts, and of course it's all thought, but how I respond to the thoughts and situations that I encounter affect not only me, but feed that back into the collective of thoughts that's that affects all of us. So
and then on the macro, I guess, on the grand scheme of things, the reason that this is an illusion and it's not real is because it has no effect. This really has no effect on reality. It has no effect on anything. So,
right, but
But on the practical level, we seem to be experiencing ourselves.
We're experiencing not only in our immediate environment, but because we're one, because there's collective consciousness, then we're feeding that back into the collective consciousness. I mean, you could look at it on a grand scale, and you could look at like what's going on politically, right? I hate you people because you're so intolerant, right? Right. So that just feeds the fire, right? Instead of going, forgive them, Father, they know not what they do, right? Which is another reaction, which is at least a neutral reaction, right? Which doesn't continue to feed that fire.
Right.
Yeah. And so we do that. So whatever we feed back in affects us in our local environment and affects the world, if you will, the world as a whole. Because that's what's fed into, you know, this collective vibration of thought. Make sense? So let me just read that. The experience you made is your experience now because you continue to make it so. It is now that matters.
That is the loop.
That's the loop. That's right. The experience you made is your experience now because you continue to make it so. So you can step outside that loop by picking the highest thought that you can, right, and not continuing to feed the loop.
The muck and the mire.
Right. Or you continue to keep the loop going by going, yeah, I hate you too.
Right.
Right? Yeah. It is now that matters because it is now that makes now. You know, I can't go back and change what happened yesterday or, you know, the election or, you know,
yeah,
whatever. What's important is now.
Right.
What's my reaction now?
Yeah, because...
What am I feeding in now? Yeah.
Because now is what makes now. And it's going to make the
next now.
The next now, too. So, yeah, so if you stay in the muck and the mire, you get more of the muck and the mire.
Yeah, both on a personal and on a global scale. Yeah. So your subtle judgments must be seen. And Cheryl says, the loop, what I think I see, what I see, I experience, what I experience, I think. Is that right? Yeah, that's the loop we're talking about, the perceptual loop. Yeah. Yeah. Cheryl says, so that is cause and effect. Yeah, but, you know, part of what's in that, I think, Cheryl, is like, you know, that whole butterfly effect thing, right? I mean, I may have nasty feelings about Connie and not seem to suffer any immediate consequences of that, right? But I'm still feeding into that hate miasma, that, you know, that overall, you know,
miasma.
She's gonna look that one up afterwards, see if I gave points for that word. You know, so yes, it's cause and effect, but, you know, you may or may... So, here's why it's problematic to say, yeah, that's just cause and effect. Because then I think, oh, if I just think better thoughts, then Connie's going to bring me flowers every time she sees me, and I'm going to be elected the favorite in my class, and I, you know, and everything gets rosy because you change your thoughts, right? And that's not necessarily true, all right? So there's no real immediate cause and effect. It's like I said last week, you know, the finding the peace of God may mean you're the most peaceful person on Skid Row, right? So it's there's not necessarily a cause and effect in that way. Now, you are going to experience the effects of neutral thoughts or high vibration thoughts because you're going to have more peace. The physical world may or may not change. Once you change your quote-unquote negative thoughts to loving thoughts or at least neutral thoughts or higher vibration thoughts, your immediate physical world may or may not change. But because we're a collective, you can be assured that you are no longer helping create on a global scale this ugliness of thought that causes the pain and suffering in the world.
Yeah, that perpetuates and keeps it going.
Yeah.
Keeps it in the experience.
Yeah. Yeah. Y'all look it up. Miasma. Kathy says, me, asthma.
Yeah. That sounds impressive, Jacqueline.
Well, if I wasn't busy teaching, I'd look it up. M-I-A. All right. So let's see. Okay. This is why I ask you to see the world as one song or as a script. It is so you will not break it into parts to judge. One song is a whole, perfect at its finish. One script cannot be broken apart.
And that may be making the point you just made, and that is that to see the effects, like this affects that, this affects that. No, it has an effect by not feeding the negative the negative back into the loop. Or it has an effect of feeding the positive back into the loop.
Right.
The love back into the loop.
Right. That's a good point.
So he's saying, you know, don't try and break this down into little bits.
Good. When you look at your brothers, you see separate parts. But this must mean that you are not looking with me. For I do not see separate parts of one thing. When I look, I only see the whole. Cheryl says it's beautiful, Connie.
What's so funny about that?
Well, it occurred to me, and then I'm like, oops. It occurred to me she might have been saying what Holy Spirit said was beautiful.
Don't try and break it down into parts, Jacqueline.
Okay, Kathy, thank you for looking up miasma. Would you like to know what it means, Connie Poole?
I reckon.
It means highly unpleasant or unhealthy smell or flavor. That's great. So, the word was used correctly.
I think we're still breaking down into parts here.
Okay, here we go. Okay, when you look at your brothers, you see separate parts, but this must mean you are not looking with me, for I do not see separate parts of one thing. When I look, I only see the whole. When you look with me, there is nothing to judge, for everything works for the healing of one mind. There is no error. And there is no mistake. There isn't one single flaw. And remember, we talked a while ago about the, we contrasted the surrender, loving what is, allowing everything to be as it is, with needing to control things. Right?
Right.
Oh, that's not right. Well, that's got to be fixed. Right? So, again, when you look with me, there is nothing to judge. Me who's looking at the whole, right?
Right.
For everything works for the healing of one mind. There is no error and there is no mistake. There isn't one single flaw. There is only a mind listening to itself and recognizing which self is true. It is an awakening, a growing recognition, and it is perfect in every way. When you look on the world and seem to see differences, remember you are not looking with me. Surrender your sight because you do not want it now. Surrender your sight because you do not want it now. You don't want to look from the body, mind, personality. You don't want to look from the false eye position. Surrender your sight because you do not want it now. Do not judge what you see or you accept it. Excuse me again. Or for one time. Do not judge what you see or you accept it as real. And you hold on to the experience of illusion. You must release it by not judging it. Through trusting it is not real. See only that it is not your desire. Let it pass upward out of your shell, freeing your mind of its trick.
So let's say we have an experience here. And we're not having a good experience, and I guess a good or bad experience seems it's already a judgment of it, but
yes.
But just a recognition that it's not real. And then I don't have to have the attachment. So I can just realize that it's not my truest desire and just let whatever is be.
Yeah, and you can, and even as you say that, you can feel the freedom in that. I don't need for things to work out in quote unquote my favor. I mean, I don't? Shit, let's party. Right? I mean, it's like, where's the problem then? Right? It's like, if you don't need to have things a certain way, you don't have the responsibility for manipulating them to make sure they work out that way. You don't have to be on your best behavior. Da, 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 da. I mean, whatever you do to try and massage this thing into a picture that you like, you can give all of that up. And with the simple recognition that it's not real.
Yes. And, you know, a couple of weeks ago, we found out that whole thing of trusting that it wasn't real was the relief from guilt, because if this is real, I am guilty.
Right. But you're not guilty because what is real can't be affected.
Yes. Right. Now I can add to the loop, and be a part of the misery that I've...
The miasma.
That's right. Miasma that I have perpetuated in this next now moment. But I don't have to be that.
You don't have to be that, and nor are you guilty for that.
Nor am I guilty
for that. You're either in recognition that this is illusion, or you're not. There's no guilt in that.
Right.
Because you haven't really done anything.
Gratitude for it. Like you said, hey, let's party. This is great. This is wonderful. Whatever it is.
Yes.
Is what it is, and it's great. I'm grateful. Okay.
Which is where we started. I'm grateful for you as I'm grateful for all things.
Exactly. Right? So, you must release it by not judging it. Through trusting, it is not real.
Okay. See only that it is not your desire, because your desire is for the real, for the true, for your truth, right? See only that it is not your desire. Let it pass upward out of your shell, freeing your mind of its trick. Flee with me. And know you are free. Flee with me and know you are free. And I've marked here, I don't know why I marked it, maybe Regina told me to. But I said, flee does not equal escape. flee equals joyously floating out of the mire. Joyously floating out of the mire. Flee with me and know you are free. All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 13.
Yeah, so that would be like a, yeah, flee from the illusion. Be free of it. Leave it. And find your freedom, right?
Right.
Yeah. Know that it's not real. Find your freedom. Don't judge it and find your freedom.
Yeah, yeah. You release yourself from your own prison.
Yeah, your prison of which we've talked about a million times, the concepts, the roles, the judgments, the I know mind.
Okay, we're on page 302, NTI, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. The reason for all things is love. Division is the opposite of love because division excludes. Love cannot exclude. Love is whole, knowing only truth. Become as an empty shell to know love. That is your reason. That is your true desire. To look on the world and divide it by judging is not love. And so it is not what you want. Lay down what you do not want and accept joyfully that which you do. You know, it's funny. The thought that just came in my mind, when we were kids, we would giggle about what they made cuss words. Can you, you know, why is it, who said it was a cuss word? You know, what if somebody decided cheese was a cuss word? Cheese! You know, would you get a spanking?
Cheese you.
Yeah, cheese you, mofo, right? so it's just, but it's funny here to just see what's really being contrasted, right? Which is absolute inclusion, which is the truth of what we are, it's opposite, which is division. Division is the opposite of love because division excludes. So it's just funny because and the reason I was talking about cheese being a cuss word is because, you know, because when we think of the word love, we're like, oh, and maybe it does come with its own emotion, but it's not about the emotion. It's not what's going on here. I mean, and isn't this, as we were looking at, I was thinking, isn't this one that everybody reads at their wedding? 1 Corinthians 13, whatever, through whatever. You know, love is patient, love is kind, love is never boastful. But you can see how, you can see the attributes of love when you say, hey, love is about inclusion as opposed to exclusion.
Right.
Right? I mean, you can see how love would move in any situation if it's about inclusion and not exclusion.
Right. Yeah, you can feel that the opposite of love would be in the exclusion would be putting this in a box and then excluding that from it and then getting, so now you got a little bit of smaller box, and then you break that up into another group, and now you got another little smaller box, and pretty soon, you know, you are all alone.
Yeah. Well, and in fact, it's what we do. I mean, that's what we do in this world of form is we sort, we name, we label, we exclude. Look
exactly.
At me, I'm good at this, you're not as good at that, I'm, you know, and it's all about this categorization, this exclusion.
Yeah.
That's what we do.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, that's what we call creation.
Right.
And in this world, I mean, it's like, you know, you start with the concept of a loving human, and then, okay, now we make you a human being. There's an exclusion in that. A human being as opposed to any other
human being.
Type of being.
Oh, or tree or frog. Or,
right. And you know, now we got a human being. Now we got a man and a woman. You know, and now we got countries of origin. And now we got black and white or yellow or red or whatever. And now we've got economically affluent as opposed to oppressed. On and on and on and on and on and on until... You know, you can't open your door, afraid you're somebody's going to slit your throat.
Right. So it's just interesting to see that. So I'm going to read that paragraph again. The reason for all things is love. Division is the opposite of love because division excludes. Love cannot exclude. Love is whole, knowing only truth. Become as an empty shell to know love, because what you've filled your shell up with is what we were just talking about, all these categories and demarcations and limitations and yeah. So in order to know its opposite, you would have to empty that shell of all those dividing devices.
Exactly.
Become as an empty shell to know love. That is your reason. That is your true desire. To look on the world and divide it by judging is not love, and so it is not what you want. And it's funny because that we would have to be told that. Well, that's not what you... Don't touch that. Don't touch that. That's, right? That's not what you want, dear. Like little children, right?
Yeah.
I want it. No, really, that's not what you want. So, you know, drop it. Put it down, right? Quit doing it.
That's what it says.
Yeah. Lay down what you do not want and accept joyfully that which you do. You know, we do it out of habit, right? We do it out of self-preservation. We do it because that's how we think it's done. The division.
Yeah.
The comparison, the judgment.
Exactly.
Yeah. But it's not what you want. So stop it, as Bob Newhart would say. When you look on the world, you see the reflection of your mind, which makes the world through thought. What you believe and what you accept is seen in the world. There is division in what you see, because there is division in your thought. This thought is not love. This thought is the denial of love, which is all that truly exists. To cease denial and see truth, which you truly desire, become as an empty shell. Let go of thoughts of division, that you may see the beauty of your oneness face to face, and you may rejoice.
He's making quite a picture for the empty shell. And
yeah, maybe we'll give that a shot.
Week after week.
And then here's, let me read this last little portion here. Yeah, I mean, yeah. He is making a pitch for the empty shell. Anything else you want to say on that?
No, I'm just talking about stating the obvious.
Okay, and then this final verse. Trust is the means, and love is the reason. Give everything to trust in the Holy Spirit, because love is all that you desire. And again, you know, this kind of ends us up where we started, where I was talking about who am I praying to and what am I praying for. And really, this is it, you know. You guys may have heard me talk about, well, you know, if you really get down to, wait, there's no entity out there, you know, that's like got this grand plan for me, right? You know, the grand plan is the recognition of of what always was, right? So, but if there's no this, there's no, you know, specific individualized plan for who I seem to be, you know, how does that, who, where do you put your trust? How do you place your trust? What am I placing it in? Who am I praying to? Where am I going? You know, I mean, it really throws everything up, kind of, for me it did, threw everything up for grabs. And I think this little verse here answers that exactly. Trust is the means and love is the reason. Give everything to trust in the Holy Spirit because love is all that you desire. So, I mean, it just doesn't take a lot more reasoning than that. You know, you want to experience the truth of your being. Love is the truth of your being. And he says right here, trust is the means. So even if you can't go, well, wait a minute, I want to meet the guy first before I tell you whether I want to trust him. All right. Come in here, let me get a good look at you.
Turn around.
Right? But you know, it certainly says it very clearly here that trust is the means. You already know the reason.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, we like that succinctness of trust is the means. Mm-hmm. It just kind of makes it all fall into place. To be that empty shell and trust.
Yeah. Okay, it works for me.
All right. I think we're done here, folks. We've done our duty.
Okay, y'all do the same. Okay, guys, we love you, and we're honored, joyful, grateful to be here with you like this every week. Thanks for allowing us to do so. Cheryl, we did NTI 1 Corinthians chapters 11 all the way through the end of chapter 13. So, we love you, and we'll see you next week.
Bye, guys. Thanks a lot.